and now evangelist David Shannon.
So will everybody take your Bible and turn to James, the fifth chapter. James, the fifth chapter. For the next few minutes, let's close out our study in the book of James by looking at the last two verses. But tonight I hope you will look at these last two verses as not just as simple as closing out a lesson or a book. But I honestly, sincerely believe that these two verses could change East Gaston Church of Christ. These two verses could change your life. These two verses could bring joy that perhaps we don't know that type of joy now, or at least to that extreme. These two verses deal with something that will change the life of others. Let's read in James, the fifth chapter, 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. This evening, let us all believe that it is the Word of God that says, brethren will stray. Now do you comprehend that? Brethren will stray. Let's believe it. Let's stop saying when someone falls aside, well, they never were converted anyway. Well, I knew when that person became a Christian, they were never really a Christian. Brethren do stray. Now you see, if we'll quit making the excuses and quit trying to judge people, we'll then have the heart, I need to go and I need to help my brother. Secondly, we're going to realize I may be very faithful today, but I may need you to come help me tomorrow. You know, if a child is lost, it's not that difficult to find people to help you hunt for that child. If a child is lost, it's not that difficult to explain to your boss why you can't come into work. It's not difficult to have the police to help you. I remember when I was young that a little girl in Nashville, Tennessee was my same age, and night after night for probably 2 or 3 months she was on the news. Her picture was on the news. They would interview her parents. They'd interview her schoolmates. They tried desperately to find the girl, and finally they found her, her body, in a basement. But that stuck in my mind. So much was given to find that one little girl. Night after night you'd see the lakes that they drug. They would show you the different people that were hunting day after day. I tell you, if my child was lost, I'd do the same. If my child was lost, it wouldn't matter to me if it was the child's fault or if it was someone else's fault, I'd search. Why don't we do it for our brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, many of us, if we know that it's the fault of the brother, we leave them alone. Doesn't matter. They never were converted anyway. Well, it's their own fault. I saw them sliding into temptation. They should have seen it too. Tonight, let's allow this teaching in James, you might say, to soften our heart, to give us the heart of a child, so that when we see someone start to fall away, we'll go and we'll say, hey, I love you, I care for you, and I see a change. Is there something I can do to help? Can you imagine how much good we can do if we start when it first begins? Can you imagine how much good we can do if we go every time one of us starts to become weak? I think that's the subject James is addressing. The subject that was so important, James could not close out the book without getting that last little thought in. Take care of each other. Love each other. And when one's overtaken in a fault, pull them back in. Tonight, as we look at this, I want us to look at three other passages and then come back to the book of James. If we'll flip over a few pages to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 20, or 2 verse 20, tells us one way that people fall away from Christ. 2 Peter 2:20 begins by saying, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than in the beginning." Now, did you notice that? They were entangled. You know, sometimes I trip and I fall. It's not because I wanted to fall. It's not because I'm blind. It's because I simply make a mistake and I tangle my feet in either a chair or the other foot. But here, that's what Peter's saying. Peter's saying they are entangled. They fell. Yes, they fell. It was an entanglement with the world. Notice how he continues, 21, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of the righteous than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them." Here's our proof, verse 22. "But it is happened unto them accordingly." Peter says, it happens. Don't think that just because someone falls away, they were never a brother or they never were a sister. They were. They simply fell away. And then he says it's like the proverb of the dog that returns to his vomit. It's like the sow that's washed clean and returns to wallowing in the mire. Yes, it's a terrible sight. Terrible because it shames the church. And terrible because there's souls at stake. And terrible because the sins that that person may live in may cause even others to fall. Wouldn't it be great if we can avoid that? That's why I say that it will change the East Gaston Church of Christ. That's why I say it'll bring happiness that maybe we don't know that extreme bit of happiness. Let's all love our brothers and sisters. And let's be willing to help. Notice also in John the 15th chapter. John the 15th chapter, we have a reading that we're familiar with this parable because it's about the vine and the branches. He begins at the very beginning talking about it, but we'll pick up in verse 4. It says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and are burned." Who's cast aside? The ones that do not produce the fruit. The branches that do not produce are cast aside. So Peter says there are some that are going to fall away because they're entangled with the world. John says there's some that are going to be, quote, in the church, but yet they're not faithful in the church. They're not producing fruit. We might say today they're not working in the church. And even though we might say they're on the vine, they're dying on the vine. Right inside of our four walls, we may have souls here this evening that are dying because they're not producing fruit. And the Lord says those have to be pruned. Those have to be cut off. Notice also in Galatians the 5th chapter, another way of those that will fall away. In Galatians the 5th chapter, we have the setting is that Paul came through the first time and converted these people in person. Later they fell away from the doctrines of truth. Paul writes to them later, and beginning in verse 4 in Galatians 5, it says, "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Notice, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye shall not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Paul says, what happened? I came through, Paul says, and I taught you the first time, and now the things that you're obeying are not the things I taught you. He said, who persuaded you to believe these things? And that, my brethren, is a third way that many fall away. They fall away for other doctrines. They fall away to follow the teachings, but yet it's not the teachings of Christ. It's the teachings of men. Yes, brethren do stray. But we need to be mindful of that and to love them and to go out and reach them. I suggest to you a second point this evening. And it's a point I hope that you will think about and let it affect your thinking. When brethren stray, hardly ever is it because they wanted to stray. Do you agree with that? If we said and looked over the directories here at East Gaston, and we found 50 names of those that have strayed in the last few years, how many of those 50 do you think we could call up and they could say, "Yes, I was a faithful Christian, and on such and such date I just decided I'm no longer going to be a faithful Christian, and that's when I stopped." It just doesn't work that way. Hardly ever does a faithful Christian just decide, "I'm going to stray." We need to realize that. And we need to realize, just as they don't want to stray, they also want help. Of course, help in the right way, with the right love, the right encouragement. Let's stop thinking that those that stray want to be where they are. Satan has a powerful hold. Satan has a way to pull men down, and we should beware of that. Also, another suggestion I give to you this evening is from Galatians 6:1. And that is, many times the straying begins with one fault. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. In a fault. Many, many times, and probably almost all the time, when a brother strays, it began from one sin. Can you think of how many relationships have ended faithful Christian life? Someone was tied up in the wrong relationship. Can you think of how many, because of alcohol, one sin has pulled them down? Can you think of how many, they could not control their tongue, or they may not have been able to control their temper? You see, that really should be a warning to us this evening. We should beware, because one sin can be the start of a downfall that will pull us away from the church. Let's keep that in mind as we go and talk to our brother. Also, in Hebrews 2:1, the verse says, "Therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip." Let's realize that many times the brother has simply slipped. The brother or sister needs help at this moment. They need help coming back to the Lord. What do we do? For the next few minutes, let's answer that question. What do we do? We set the stage. The setting is a brother or a sister that has fallen. They probably did not want to fall. They probably would appreciate some kind of encouragement. They would appreciate someone showing care, concern, love. Galatians 6:1 tells us to go in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Brethren, we need to realize that what we must do, is Galatians 6:1, is restore in the spirit of meekness. Do you know what the word restore means? The literal context of restore is put back in the joint. If I dislocate my shoulder, I'm going to go to a doctor because I want the doctor to restore my shoulder. I want him to put it back into the joint in which it came forth from. Now, when someone falls out of the church, we should do the same. You don't go to the doctor and say, "Listen, doc, this trouble with my shoulder started long ago, and I'm kind of aggravated with this shoulder anyway. Instead of restoring it, why don't you just put it to the back? That way I can ignore it. I'm really angry with this shoulder. I'm discouraged. Why don't you just cut it off?" No. And we can't do it with our brothers and sisters either. We need to go to our brother and our sister, and the purpose of our visit is not to tell them how bad they are, how wrong they are, how disappointed we are. The purpose is to restore them back to where they once were. pure, clean in the sight of the Lord. In the spirit of meekness, gentleness. Now please notice there's two things that we need to beware of. The two dangers that Christians probably are tempted most often is the danger to simply ignore the person. That's wrong. See them in the grocery store, well, I'll go down a different aisle. Or if I see them, I'm going to ignore the fact that they have fallen spiritually. And also another danger is going with the attitude of haughtiness, of pride. Let me come talk to you about how you have fallen, and I know because I've been standing strong. I can't believe you've been so weak. I can't believe you let these sins into your life. We need to go with the truth, but we need to go with the spirit of love. And notice how James closes out with his last verse. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now, brethren, isn't that beautiful? Save a soul from death. On this earth, if someone saves someone's physical life, we think highly of that. We remember that. Those are the things that get put in the paper. So-and-so saved someone from a burning building, from a burning car, from whatever. My question for you this evening, have you ever saved a soul? Another question, have you ever hid a multitude of sins? I encourage you, for the sake of the Lord's kingdom, think about these last two verses of James this week. Think about who you know that has fallen away. And think about what you can do to help them. Brethren, there's a concern of mine that's great. And that is, many times in the church, we're content to see others fall away. I've heard remarks even right here in East Gaston, and I think we're a loving group of people. But I've heard remarks, I just need more encouragement. Now that's among our own people. I need more encouragement. Let's make sure that there's no one among our number that needs encouragement but yet is not receiving it. Let's make sure that when we stand individually before our Lord, it can be said, yes, I saved a soul from death. Yes, I have hid a multitude of sins. Why? Because I reached out to someone that was falling. Tonight, have you fallen away from the Lord? Have you reached out to someone that has fallen? If we can help you in any way tonight, won't you come as we stand, as we sing?